Okay, Titus chapter 1, we'll start reading from verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faith-filled children, not accused of dissipation and insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, and not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled. Now, if you remember from last week, we talked about that for a bishop, which, anyone remember what the other term was called? Anyone remember the difference between elder and bishop? Is there a difference?
Is a bishop like a deacon?
No.
Elder's like a deacon, right?
Bishops are for like
Catholic
types of
No.
Bishop is a pastor's pastor, right?
Bishop is a pastor.
Is it the head pastor?
No.
Well, I know a bishop is.
Is it like a black pastor?
No.
A bishop is a chest. He's like a blue bag.
No.
A bishop.
No, listen. It is a pastor that is not
a pastor
associated with one church, but many churches.
No.
What?
Okay. Elder and bishop are the same guy.
So you're
elder,
bishop?
Elder, bishop, overseer, shepherd. It's all in the one same. It's all the same. The elder shows the importance. It's the importance of what he does. Bishop is like a duty of what he does. Responsibility. Okay? So, a bishop must be blameless, if you remember from last week, must be blameless, as a steward of God. Remember? Like someone, as what is a steward? What was a steward? You remember? What was a steward's responsibility? Not this guy, but just a steward.
Take care of something that belongs to somebody else?
Yes. more specific, someone's house. Okay? They had a responsibility of oversee, or they were responsible for someone's house, their finances, and everything that went along with it. So this guy, the bishop, the pastor, is a steward of God. Okay? So, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine. And what did that mean? Anyone remember? What did not
being
given
drunk.
To wine? Okay? Not being associated, not being a drunk. Okay? Not violent, or what was the other, what was it more better translated?
Striker.
Not a striker. Okay? Not greedy for money. Okay? So now verse 8, but hospitable. Okay? After four straight charges of what not to be, not self-will, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, Paul now lists a few characteristics of what an elder should be associated with. Okay? Starting with, but hospitable, which is the Greek word philoxenos. The first part comes from the Greek philos, which is a friend or loving. The second part is xenos, which is stranger. Okay, so together, what is it? To love strangers. Friend of strangers. Okay? Now, it was common in this time that people would travel from town to town. Okay? And so it was custom for people to open their houses. Someone would come to town, they would open their houses, be hospitable to a stranger, whether it be a believer or a non-believer. They would open up their home to this stranger passing through, give them shelter, give them food, wash their clothes or whatever, and be hospitable, be loving to these strangers. So more so The pastor, the elder, the bishop, the overseer, the shepherd, which is one guy, must be hospital. Okay? Whether it's to his own people or to strangers, if it be non-Christians or Christians. But be hospitable. Love them. Take care of them. Nourish them. Feed them. Whatever comes with being hospitable. Okay? Christians, now not even just pastors, but Christians throughout scriptures are told to be hospitable. We have Romans 12:13, Hebrews 13:2, 1 Peter 4:9 are all related to all Christians being hospitable. Our Lord shares in Matthew 10:40, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." And we read the words of our Lord in Matthew 25. Turn there real fast. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Everyone there? Starting in verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered together before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the King will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.'" So what were these righteous ones doing? Being hospitable. They were clothing those who need clothing, feeding those who were hungry, giving a drink of water to those who were thirsty, visiting those who were in the prison, those who didn't have somewhere to stay, they took them in. They were being hospitable, which is what all Christians are commanded to be, even so pastors, okay? Continue on. "Then He will say also to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then He will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So I ask, does our Lord think it is important for us to be hospitable to others? Yes, very much so. For when we take care of someone, one of the least of these, we are loving, we are taking care of Christ Himself. When you feed those who are hungry, you are loving the Lord. Or when someone is thirsty, or naked, or when they're a stranger, or in prison, we have the responsibility to be hospitable to these people, to strangers, and to those who we know. Now turn to Luke chapter 10 real quick. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. few books over. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 29. And we all should be familiar with this story. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounding him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." In other words, there's the guy laying on the road, half dead. The priest comes by and sees him and passes on the way other side of the road. Okay? Pretty rude, right? Okay. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by, where? On the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now these two people, okay, were known enemies. Their towns did not get along whatsoever. And yet he is the one who had compassion on a stranger. On a stranger. What was the Greek for hospitable? Lover of a stranger. Friend of a stranger. And so here's a perfect example. Here you have known enemies of these different towns, and he's a stranger, and the guy's passing through. A priest walks by. A Levite walks by, and he stays on the furthest side of the road from the guy who's half dead, the scriptures say. And just, I'm going to pretend I didn't see that guy. But there, here comes someone who's known to do battle with this town. And he sees him and has compassion. So he takes him in. He's hospitable to this stranger. He becomes a friend of this stranger. He loves this stranger. So we see how important it is for pastors, for this bishop, to be hospitable, to be lovers of strangers, to make a friend of a stranger, to care for them when they are wounded, to clothe them when they are naked, to feed them when they are hungry, to take them in when they have nowhere to stay. And so you should see, we all should see in pastors, that they are hospitable, that they are lovers of strangers, that they make themselves to be a friend of strangers. All of us should see that in our pastors. Furthermore, we go on now. But hospital, next one. A lover of what is good. Greek is a lover of all that is good. A lover of all that is good. Albert Barnes writes, "A man who sustains the office of a minister of the gospel should love every good object and be every ready to promote it. And he should love every good man, no matter what denomination or country he may be found, no matter what his complexion, and no matter what his rank in life." So no matter what it is, if it is a good thing, he is to love it. A lover of all good things. And so when we say good here, do you think that we mean the general good? No, but all good things pertaining to God. If a man loves God, he is to be a lover of that man. If a thing glorifies God, he is to be a lover of that thing. Listen to this. Philippians 4:8. This will help us. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue And if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, to me, that would be a list of good things. And so this is a good example of what is a lover of good things. Well, finally, brother, whatever things are true, that is true to our God, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, are pure, are lovely, are of good report, these are some things that a pastor should be a lover of. Lover of all good things. Next one, sober-minded. Sober-minded. So we have hospitable, a lover of what is good, and now sober-minded. Sophron is the Greek, and it means to be discreet, sober, temperate, of sound mind, self-discipline in one's freedom, self-restrained in all passions and desires. Again, sober-minded means to be discreet, sober, temperate, of a sound mind, self-discipline in one's freedom. Because yes, we are free in Christ. Okay, but in that, there can be a danger. There can be a temptation. Oh, I'm free. I'm free to drink wine, the pastor might say. Well, what is the danger in that? Becoming drunk. And so it's to be disciplined, self-discipline in one's freedom. Okay, that's why it says not given to wine. Do not be drunk on wine. So a pastor must be sober-minded. So he is self-disciplined in himself. He is following Christ so much that he is self-disciplined in his freedoms. And I think the Bible teaches it even more so for the pastor. Yes, all Christians to be self-disciplined in their freedoms. So in other words, for you guys, let's say you know that there's a certain show that really isn't glorifying to God, and so you shouldn't watch it. You have the freedom to watch it, yes. But you need to be self-disciplined enough to put it off, to not watch it. And so it is for the pastor in all aspects of his life to be self-disciplined in his freedom, to be self-restrained in all his passions and desires, to be prudent in all his character, properly a man of sound mind, one who follows sound reason, that is, one who will hear a reason, think about it, and make a judgment or a case, so he makes a sound reason, not just blowing off and making just babbling. He gives sound reason. One who is not under the control of passion, or under the control of wine, as not given to wine. The idea is that he should have his desires and his passions well regulated. Again, the pastor should have his desires, his freedom, his passions well regulated. And again, I know you're asking, why do we need to learn about this? What are the qualifications of a pastor important to me? Well, as I said last week, all of us should know what the qualifications for an elder should be. For when we ordain future elders, for current elders, if you do not go to this church, these are the qualifications that you should see in your pastor. It is good for all of us to know what the qualifications are. If God is calling one of you young men to be a pastor one day, you ought to know the qualifications. Do you possess these qualifications? Do you know what they mean? Do you know what they are? And so they are important for every single one of us in here, because we ought to see these in our elders, in our pastors, future ones and current ones. So do not put these things off. Do not let yourself be bored by the Word of God, but listen, for it is wisdom, it is knowledge. But a fool despises wisdom and knowledge. Next one then. So we have hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, that which is right, conformable to right. It means that which is expected as duty, and which is claimed as a right because of one's conformity to the rules of God or society. I'll read it one more time. Just. That, listening, that which is right, conformable to right. It means that which is expected as duty and which is claimed as a right because of one's conformity to the rules of God or society. Upright, that is going with just, it is upright in all his dealings. He is upright in all of his dealings. A minister can do little good who is not upright in all of his dealings. If a pastor is not upright, if he is not just, if he is not conformable to the rules of, number one, God, and even society, he is not going to do very good with his flock. He is not going to be the right example for the flock if he can't even obey the rules of the land. He who lives among men without doing harm to anyone, this is a just person. Again, I'll read it one more time. It means that which is expected as duty and which is claimed as a right because of one's conformity to the rules of God or society. Next one, it is holy. So we have hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, and now holy. This one here means unpolluted with wickedness. Unpolluted with wickedness. Your pastor should be unpolluted with wickedness. Right as conformed to God and His law. So this one has a little more than just. It's conformed to God and His law specifically. So, of men, meaning pious, which means devout, godly, careful of all duties towards God. So the pastor is to be careful of all duties towards God. Okay, so again, it means unpolluted with wickedness. We don't want a pastor running around who's polluted with wickedness. If you go to big cities like Los Angeles, what's one of the first things you see when you're coming into town?
Pollution.
Smog, the pollution. It's corrupted, it's polluted. Okay? And so take that idea for a pastor. He is not to be polluted with wickedness, but to have clean air, if you will. Okay? Next one, last one. For verse 8, the self-control, or some translations, temperate. Self-control, or temperate. The Greek is enkratos, and means power, dominion, strength. Okay, so now we should be asking, so if temperate, or self-control, means power, or dominion, or strength, what is it that it has to power or dominion over? Another better way to translate it is being the master of something. Having power over something. Okay, so power over what? Or being the master of what? Okay? One having his passions, tongue, hand, eyes at command. He has power over his passions, over his tongue, over his hand, over his eyes. He is the master over these things. It's continence, which is self-restraint or abstinence. Self-restraint. So, similar to what we talked about earlier, that he's self-disciplined in his freedom. Now this is saying that he has power, or he's mastered over his own passions, over his own tongue, over his hands and what he does, over his eyes. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. So again, just like the pastor is to be hospitable, and same with the flock, so are the flock to be temperate. you guys also are to be temperate, to have your passions under control, to have power over them, but even more so for the pastor. The word which is rendered temperate denotes abstinence from all that would excite, stimulate, and ultimately weaken. So if he does not have power, if he's not able to master what his eyes see or his hands touch or his tongue says or his passions, if he's not able to master those, he is going to be weak and fall. Again, it denotes abstinence from all that would excite, stimulate, and ultimately weaken or enfeeble. Okay, so that finishes up verse 8. Lord willing, next week we'll get to verse 9. But I want us to review a few things here from verse 5 on, okay? For this reason, why did Paul leave Titus in Crete? Say what?
Because he was his own son.
He's his own son, okay? Why else? Why did Paul leave Titus in Crete, Rebecca? Okay, appoint elders to finish the task, to finish the things that were left undone. Chris?
He trusted him.
He trusted him.
He knew that he was taught well.
He knew that he was taught well. He had full confidence that he knew Titus would finish the task, not leave it uncomplete. Okay? So now, verse 6. Okay, well, let's start with the first 5 still. What was the Greek word for elder? Anyone remember? Starts with a P. Anna Giselle?
There's a tongue twister, I don't know.
Was it, I can't remember exactly how it was, but presbyteros or something?
That's it.
Like that?
Presbyteros is the Greek for elder, okay? And it is masculine. Okay? So now verse 6. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, what did that mean? The husband of one wife. Elijah?
Momentarily
Sam?
Having one
Rebecca?
He's only married to one woman.
He's a one-woman man. Okay, very good. Okay? Having faithful children not accused of dissipation or insubordination. What was the easy words for that?
Right
and unruly. Okay? Is that important for preacher's kids? Yes, because it says right here. They are not to be riot or unruly, but under control, under submission to their father. Verse 7. For a bishop should consider being blameless.
Must
be blameless. He must be blameless as a steward of God. Okay? Not self-willed. So he's not, hey, it's my way or the highway. I don't care what you have to say, it's just what I think. Okay? He is not to be self-willed. He should be concerned about what you are going through, your feelings, your thoughts. Not quick-tempered. Okay? Not given to wine, which again, what does given imply? Being drunk. Okay? So it's not that he can't have a glass of wine. He's not to be given, not to be drunk on wine. Okay? Not violent, not a striker. And why does this one relate to not given to wine? Okay, when people get drunk, they get out of control, they get mad, right? And unruly, and start flipping tables and flipping people and stuff. Striking people. Okay? Now, not greedy for money. Not greedy for money. Should the pastor assume, or should his motives, I should say, be to gain a whole lot of money? Should that be his motives of being a pastor? No. Not greedy for money. If you remember last week, some of these people that Paul and Titus are going against, they were taking advantage of whole households, taking everything they had, being a wrong steward, an evil steward, taking advantage of people. Right? So they are not to be greedy for money. But even if they gain not even one penny, okay? but hospitable. What's important about being hospitable? What does it mean? What is it in the Greek translated?
Lover of
strangers. Lover of strangers. Okay? Is that important? Yes. What does it imply?
To those, the least of these you've done unto me.
Done unto Christ. Okay? You should feed those who need to be fed. Clothe and feed and give them some water or whatever. And so does this apply to you too? Yes. And we read all, listed all those scriptures. Matthew 25, Romans 12, Hebrews 13, 1 Peter 4. Okay? Hold on, Brian. We're almost done. A lover of what is good. In other words, of all good things. Namely, that glorify God. So you should see your pastor who is a lover of what is good. He should be sober-minded. Sober-minded, that is, what should he do with his freedom? Should be self-disciplined in his freedom. Okay? Just. He needs to be just, holy, and self-controlled. That is, have power or mastering his own passions, his tongue, his hands, his eyes. These things you should see in your pastors. These things you should see in future pastors. If we're going to ordain a future elder, before he's ordained, there's a time of testing, right? We should see these qualities in this person. You understand? Is this important? Do you think you should care about the qualities of your pastor? He is the one who has charge over you to care for your souls. You should care about who has the responsibility, the duty of taking care of your souls, of watching over you, of teaching you. So yes, this is important for you. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, again, we thank you. You are such a kind, gracious, and loving God. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that as we are reading this book, Titus, as this letter from Paul to his son in the faith, Titus, of having the responsibility to appoint elders, and we see just how important that you've placed on being an elder. You have given these duties, not just Paul, but Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God, God Himself. These words are not just Paul penned, but they are God breathed. For these things come from you. You are saying that the men who you are appointing to lead your church should fit these qualifications. And so let us together learn of these qualifications. Let us learn together these characteristics that we should see in our pastors. Men who are just and holy. A one-woman man who have his kids under submission. And who is teaching them to love God and training them in the ways of the Lord. We should see this man being hospitable, a lover of strangers. To not be like the priest and the Levite who passed by on the opposite side of the road, but went out of his way, picked up the stranger, and put him on his own horse, and bandaged him up. Nourished him, gave him the proper medicines, fed him, clothed him, put him up, spent his own money. Let the pastors be like this man, who was not gaining anything in this situation, but was giving his own money to care for this stranger. Let that be said of true pastors. Let them not be given to wine. Let them be a lover of all good things. Let them not be violent, we pray. And Father, I pray that you would convict me and all other pastors of these very things. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that as I have been studying, it has been a chance for me to look in the mirror, for me to be convicted of your holy word, that I would have these characteristics. Where I fall short in these, you would convict me and discipline me and get me in line, that I would be a good steward for your people, I pray. Let your children see these in me and all pastors and all future pastors that will be ordained. Let them study these things diligently so they may know them and may have them. And Lord, I pray for these here who are sitting here listening to this. I beg of you, O God, that they would never, number one, consider your word boring. For all word, all your holy word applies to us. And so the true Christian will never think that the word of God is boring. That they would never think, oh, I could be doing something better. This is the word of God. It is life. And it is hope, and it is salvation, and it is how we know how we ought to live and move and think. And so I pray for these here tonight, that they would not think, oh, this doesn't pertain to me, but then let them consider and ponder that this does pertain to me. I should care about who is pastoring me. I should care about their characteristics. I should care about what should be said of them as a pastor, as their elder. For they have charge over my soul. They have the responsibility to lead me, to care for me. So I should care what kind of person they are. Yes, I know that they are a sinner. Yes, I know that I should pray for my pastor. But ever more so, I should see his character and be able to follow him as he follows Christ. So let no one here tonight, I pray, say that this is boring, it doesn't pertain to me. But let them leave, I pray, O God, saying, I have learned, I am learning what I should see in my pastor. In Jesus' name. Lord willing, next week, actually, not next week, in 2 weeks, next week Jeremy will be bringing us the word. I'm not sure what he's going to be teaching. But in 2 weeks, Lord willing, I don't die in a plane crash, we will talk about this. The pastor should be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we will move forward with the pastor's responsibilities. Thank you for coming.